The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
We're still on soul prosperity. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it's just a chapter. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." This is the anchor scripture for this series, Soul Prosperity. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 to 16, Apostle Paul was writing to his son, Timothy. He said, "These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the world, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." Verse 16, it said, "Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." He said, take heed to yourself. Today, I want to talk about caring for your soul. Caring for your soul. The song that the music team sang lastly was, "I give my body, my soul, my spirit to you." Man is a spirit that possesses a soul and lives in a body. And you must understand that the soul, in the teaching this last week, my wife was giving an analogy about the soul, the spirit, and the body. And he used three people to demonstrate it. The spirit man is the one that interacts with God. But the soul is the one that's supposed to take information so that we can get that. What if your soul is not well taken care of? The thing is that the body will start giving information. And your soul will start being ruled by your flesh. And that's why you will now start being carnal. Although you are a believer, but you are carnal. And we must have time to start taking care of our soul, because when somebody is troubled, it affects how he or she lives. If you are troubled in your soul, it will affect how you are, how you engage people, how you engage your children, how you engage those that work for you. It will affect everybody. And that's why we have a movement here called the Movement of Inner Healing. And it's one of the things. We can't talk about soul prosperity if we do not talk about the prosperity that has to do with healing the inner wounds that you have on the inside of you. You must understand that prosperity and health is directly related to your soul. There are people today who are sick. And when they meet the doctors will say there's nothing. In our local palace, we say satanic attack. Because they cannot diagnose what's going on with the person. The person has a problem with the soul. There is something disturbing you. Most of the sicknesses are tied to the problem in your soul. High blood pressure. Even ulcers in the stomach. All those things can be tied to trouble in your soul. And for you to prosper effectively in this kingdom, it must start from your soul. I'm talking about material prosperity. Anything that gives you money that is not tied to your soul, when that thing is taken away from you, what will happen is that lack will set in. For example, you can have a good skill set. You can have a good job. You can have a good degree. You have learned something. Maybe you learned something maybe you're a fashion designer. Maybe something that has to do with drawing. Maybe you are brainy. What if you have Parkinson's disease? What if you cannot even sew anymore? You can't sit down because you have problem with your spine. That means that you won't have money again. So when skill set brings money to you, when an environment brings money to you, when they take you out of it, it's not going to do. Real wealth in the kingdom is portable. Real wealth. That means that they take you away from Nigeria, put you anywhere, you're going to prosper. Take you away from that place and put you there, you're also going to prosper. You must understand that the soul is not evil. People have already said, why would you talk about the soul? The soul is not evil. It was created by God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, "And God breathed into man, and man became a living soul." A living soul. Your soul is what actually regulates you. It regulates you. And as long as you do not take care of it and say it's evil, then the wicked one, who I call the Antidikos, is the one that can also take advantage of you. You find yourself not being happy. That's why the Bible says rejoice. It's a command. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this is where many people think that the soul is evil. But if we look at this scripture, you find out that it was not rightly interpreted. The Bible says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I was listening to a man called Harold Abele. He was saying something. He said this scripture, that they said the two-edged sword, piercing even to the division. He said it's not even to the soul and the spirit. He said it's to soul and spirit to spirit. In other words, when the word of God comes, it comes to pierce your soul, to remove what is not supposed to be in your soul. It also comes to pierce what in your spirit, to remove what is not in your spirit. So this soul and this spirit, the spirit there is not the Holy Spirit, it's your human spirit, your regenerated spirit. And also the soul is your soul. So what it comes to do, it comes to remove the things, the bad thoughts, those things that your flesh gave to you that is actually true, but it's not true. When the word of God comes, he pierces your soul and removes it. When it comes into your spirit, some of the things, your spirit that was dead before, now it's alive by the presence of God. What happens now is that he removes some things that are not supposed to be there. That's what the retranslation is. So when the word of God comes, it comes into your soul, removes what's not supposed to be there, comes into your spirit, and removes what's not supposed to be there. So if you take this translation as is taking it from soul, dividing soul and spirit, that means that the soul is an attachment. And the soul is not good. There are people that you will see that take on human flesh. When the Nephilim came and they started sleeping with people, they had human body, but they had no soul. That's a discussion for another day. And so be careful how you interact, because you must be led by the Spirit. You must be led by the Spirit. In Deuteronomy 6:5, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul again and all your strength. In other words, love him with your spirit, your soul, and your strength. Body, soul, and spirit. So your soul is not bad. David always talked to his soul. David, you will see it all through the psalm, especially Psalm 119 and some other psalm. There was one time he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Another time he said, oh my soul, why are you discontent within me? Align. In Psalm 119 verse 81, he said, my soul languishes and grows faint for your salvation. But I hope in your word. In Psalm 23 verse 3, he said, he restores my soul. Talking about the good shepherd. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. You must talk to your soul. You must tell your soul to align. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Listen to me. Some of us here today, you don't even feel like coming to church. But you came. And just one song revived you. Revived your soul. Your soul that was downcast. Your soul that so many things have been going on in your soul. You must understand that rest is not the absence of labor, but the presence of peace. The fourth commandment speaks about rest. The fourth commandment speaks about rest. Even before talking about honoring your father and your mother. Even God talking about not stealing. Even God talking about adultery and all the rest. In other words, if you can rest your soul, you can follow the remaining one. Three of the commands, the first three, talks about God. One talks about you. The remaining six talks about your relationship with people. God wants you to take care of yourself. And that's why it gives you rest. I assure you, you can sleep. You can stop working. They will give you 2 weeks vacation. You will get back to the office tired. Why? Because your soul did not rest. You're on your bed thinking about the next deal. If you don't rest over a period of time, I assure you, you will end up resting. You might not rest and die. That's not what I'm saying. You'll go on bed rest in the hospital. And so rest is one of the way you recharge. You must find time to rest. That's why it gives you a new day. It gives you a new week. That's why when God created man on the sixth day, he told him, the full day that man saw was the day of rest. And we're supposed to be living in rest. Because the seventh day, there was neither evening nor morning. So man was born into rest. We were not supposed to walk and rest. We're supposed to walk from rest. So if walk, and this message is not for people that don't walk, that I'm saying. Because some people say, yeah, Pastor, tell them. That's why I'm resting. No. That's not what I'm saying. You must walk. But rest should be. Joshua said, there now remains a rest in the book of Hebrews. Because they were supposed to enter the promised land after resting, but they did not rest. That's what the Bible says, labor to enter into his rest, so that you will cease from your works. Believers are supposed to have entered into the rest of God. That means that when the circumstance say there's a casting down, you will say no. Because you carry the Prince of Peace. That what brings rest. You can run out of time, I tell you the truth. But the people don't understand also that you may have time, but you may not have soul remaining. There are many of us who schedule our time to the extent that you will tell people that you see five of them. It's when you are seeing the third person, you not tell yourself. You have time, but time is not over. But you have run out of soul. And that's why we don't need to. You know, you have a lot of time. But I can tell you also, you can run out of time. But people do not understand also that you can run out of your soul. And we need to start caring for that. What creates tension in your soul? Because sometimes our soul are not, there's tension. There is tension. I want to share with you, and what I'm going to share with you, I will also balance it and tell you, it's not about what can be used can be abused. I want to leave it like that. What can be used can be abused. Everything God created can be used. But also everything God created can also be abused. I'm talking about the correct use of what I'm saying. The first thing that can do it is I'm imagining the worst in a challenging situation or circumstance. It can bring tension to your soul. What if something does not happen? Now that they have sacked me from my job, you are imagining how they will kick you out of the house. How you won't have food to eat. How people will laugh at you. You have not even started. You still have some savings. So. But imagining the worst. Can I say something to you? Many of us imagine the worst about Nigeria. The circumstances are challenging. I tell you the truth. And you know what? When you imagine this, you can't sleep at night. And all these things come to create tension in your life. Maybe you have a problem with your husband. You have a challenge with your children. You have a challenge with your wife. You have a challenge at work. You are trying to imagine how things will get worse, from worse to worse. There are two things that God gave you: imagination and memory. Your memory is supposed to build faithfulness, build altars to the faithfulness of God. In other words, this is where God has helped me before. Your imagination is supposed to imagine a great future with God. How come that we actually believe that when we get to the future, God will not be there? But it was in the past. But Jesus, the same today. Today, the same, same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's always the same. He will never change. If he didn't leave you now, he cannot leave you when you are going. And he will always be there in the future. Like I always say, I may not know the future, but I know the holder of the future. You must understand that living in regrets for your past mistakes. I have done wrong. I always tell people, living in regrets will be your biggest regret. In God, there is redemption. In God, there is redemption. He can redeem it. He can turn things around, even in your mistakes. But I must also ask, the reason is that, why do you always make the same mistakes over and over again? That's the reason why you need to ask. The mistake is the same, but the actors are different. Over and over again, you enter a wrong relationship. Over and over again. It may be a bent in your soul that needs to be corrected. But never you live in regret. Never you live in regret. Because living in regret is like driving a car and looking at your rearview mirror. That's why the windshield is very wide and the rearview mirror is small. When you go to your past without the blood of Jesus, you will open yourself to the spirit of deception. You must understand that's not setting boundaries. Number three says, especially with disrespectful people, people that come to disrespect you, you need to set boundaries. Please, not walls, but set boundaries. Set boundaries with people that will insult you. People on Facebook, when you make a post, they attack you. Block them. They change their name, block them. People just insult people. And as long as they do that, block them. Why? You don't want anybody creating tension. You don't want to be insulted. Who wants to be insulted? No. There are people that will come and disrespect your wife. Block them. Your husband, block them. As long as you cannot comport yourself. And that's why you must arrange yourself. When people come to your house and they see it well arranged, they will arrange themselves. When they come to your house and they see it scattered, they will scatter. No doubt there are people, whether it's arranged or disarranged, they are scattered. So you block them. Not forgiving others and yourself. Look at me. Say you forgive me. I may have said some things before that you didn't like. Not that I was wrong, but forgive me. Look at the person seated next to you. Even if you have not met the person before. Maybe the person would feel shared better than you. And say, what's wrong with this one? Say, I forgive you. Unforgiveness is not a trophy. Unforgiveness is not a trophy. Unforgiveness will lead to bitterness. Bitterness will create tension. The person, as you walk into the room, the person enters, something will twist. You will stand up and go. Meanwhile, the person to bless you will come. Forgive. Did the person steal your money? Forgive. There's redemption. You borrow the person money. You know, here, people can enter covenant anyhow. Say, hey, give me, I will give you tomorrow. Hey. Have you seen that before? Say, hey. Knowing fully where they will not do it. creating expectation in people you cannot fulfill. You say, give me 50K. Small. Tomorrow, his line refused to go. This is 2 years. Forgive. Some of you are laughing because it has happened to you. Some of you are also laughing because you have done it to people. So, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Forgive. Forgive your husband. Forgive your wife. I always tell my children, my wife and I will be the permanent occupant in this house. You have come, you will still go. They don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. I always tell my wife, I say, don't get connected to these children too much. I say, my son, I say, don't. This boy will soon love a girl. He will soon tell you, mommy, leave me alone. I'm coming. I'm coming in 2 days. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It has happened to you. I said, my wife, let's love ourselves now. Let's love ourselves. Let's not, don't mind these people. Let's love ourselves. Not living a generous life. It will create tension in your life. Do you know that one of the symptoms of madness, or no, of lunacy, or mental ill health is hoarding? You buy biscuit, you have eaten the biscuit, you keep the carton, it says fine. It's hoarding. There are things that no longer sizing you, but you just like the way it decorates. It's hoarding. It will create tension. Don't you see how you feel when you give somebody something and the person is happy and tells you thank you, calls you again, thank you. You don't know what has happened. Something has happened. That thing, you cannot deposit it in the bank. It is called joy. It expands your soul. Most of the things that take care of your soul are not tangible. The Bible says, Acts 10:38. It said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That translation of doing good is philanthropy. If it had said he went about doing good, we would have interpreted that he was doing some spiritual thing. But say, in our sense, and healing. In other words, this good is different from the healing. It's philanthropy. It may shock you, but I will still say it. Government is not supposed to be the welfare system of the world. It's the ecclesia. The church. Because the real welfare system is to help somebody so that the person can stand by himself. It's not to help somebody and the person be dependent for life. Because the person also needs to contribute to others. Am I making sense at all? And it is only us that has the template. Government does not have the template, because most time when they create a welfare system, it's just for its sentiment and it's for political reasons. Number six, trying to live to others' expectation. One day I was driving with my wife and I told her, you're a good wife. She said, I don't know why I said it. He said, sometimes the enemy just tells me I'm not a good mother, I'm not a good wife. Some women, do you feel like that sometimes? Maybe your child went out and people went to this thing. He drinks Fanta and pours on himself. Now, you are not the cause. You're a good mother. There are people who say, hey, if I born, not that all this one that's doing it. I say, my brother, my sister, you have not given birth, that's why. I'm not trying to leave. Sometimes my son will bring his clothes out. My wife will say, no, you gotta say, leave him. Leave him. Will you be there in future? He said, that's what you want to wear. He said, people will laugh. I said, hey, people will laugh. Is it you they are laughing? No. Sometimes, especially here, we like to live to people's expectation. I'm not saying you should not live to the people's expectation that are good. There are some expectation that is good. You need to pray. You need to take care of your children. You need to take care of your wife. But not their own type of expectation. They have a standard. Ah, person don't marry. Never see buy a car for a wife. Are you the one that married? Are they complaining? No. God told you to do something. I see it here all the time. Somebody was coming one time praying all the time. I'm praying. People will call and say, come. Now pray, you're the pray. Anything happen? Are you the one that heard? Were you there when he heard the voice of God? He said, come, let me give you advice. Which advice do you have? He said, my brother, come. You are still singing in the choir. As if a choir has expiry date. That there's a level you grow to. No singing again. But you don't go to me, Pastor, say, Pastor, are you still preaching? So you are still in intercessory. You don't graduate from your gift. And many of us here, we try to give advice to people. Why? You know what? Sometimes you give those advice and everything because you get small change for pocket. Because some people that have money think all of a sudden they are wise. All of a sudden you are wise. No, it's just an ability to make money. It's an ability. Just like somebody has an ability to teach. You have ability to see opportunities and take it. He said, my brother, teacher, that's what you want to be. Let me tell you, it may shock you that in the next 10, 20 years, some of the profession you are reading, you are trying to carry out, is obsolete. One app will do it. So don't give advice to people when you don't even know the advisor. Quickly, I want to share with you how to care for your soul. These are the things that create tension in your soul, but how do I care for my soul? When the revival hit in Acts chapter 2, I've talked about it, but I will take it in a deeper way. Because you see, a believer is supposed to live in constant revival. Revive my soul. What will constantly revive your soul? How do I take care of it? So that, listen, after I was telling some people yesterday, I was sharing with them. I said, I have been called to do the church work. Some people have been called to do work of the church. The fact that you are doing church work does not mean you won't do work of the church. And the fact that you are doing work of the church does not mean that you won't do church work. It depends on the level of degree. There are people that believe that when I go to do work of the church, and listen to me, anybody where you are, everybody that is a believer must do the work of the church. Everybody, including a pastor. Same thing, everybody that is a believer should do church work. Although those that are in the fivefold ministry, those that are come, that are priests here, that even come and resume here, they are the ones doing primarily church work. Can I say something to you? It may shock you. How each of us make our living is different. The ones that do work of the church should not compare them with themselves with the one that do church work. And the one that do church work should not compare themselves with the one that do work of the church. The way people that are doing business, that the way that they have a career, get their money is quite different from the way I get mine. And in comparing myself with them, there will be tension in my soul. Today, the real teachers are no longer teaching. The ones that have the gift of teaching are no longer teaching. It's the one that has spare time. Or the one that has no job. Your children don't want to go to school again, not because they don't like school, but every time they remove that teacher. I told a lady one time, I said, you may not be able to give your husband 1 million, but you will save him 1 million. So that, listen, life is not counted by the money you have. Let's stop some things. I told a lady one time, I said, you may not have gotten this money, but look at the things that people you have received. One of them, she calculated it was 300,000. I said, you cannot get this. And that's why this unhealthy competition creates tension in your soul. And the way sometimes we preach the message, say when you are 31, you never make your first million, now person you be, listen. No, I'll be wondering, 1 million? You say, I made my first million by 24. God bless you. I appreciate you. I'm not saying you should not work. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, in the Passion Translation, it says every believer was faithfully devoted to the following, the teaching of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another and sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. How do I care for my soul? Deepening your theology. Deepening your theology. The revelation of the word of God you had the day you got born again 20 years ago, if you are not careful, you will repeat that experience 20 times all over for 20 years. But the power of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter into a better day. What is the working definition of theology? It's faith seeking understanding. Faith seeking understanding. How can somebody tell people to go and eat grass and they went? And they ask the person, why did you say they should go and eat? He said, a shepherd has sheep, and sheep eat grass. You need to deepen your theology. You need to deepen your theology, or else you will wake up by 12 midnight and break coconut at the junction of your house. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you need to deepen your theology. Jesus loved people. Jesus is the only perfect master. Is the one that came and said, love your enemies. No other person said it. Jesus is the only one that said, whosoever sin you forgive is forgiven. That means that I can stand here and say, Nigeria, your sins are forgiven. We need to deepen our theology from give me, my name is Jimmy. Does it not shock you? Like I always tell people, does it not shock you that sometimes when you start praying for somebody's problem, your own is going? It may not even go, but you will not remember it again. You will see the problem and you are happy. Why? Your words are not fortified. But the moment you keep on looking at your problem, hey, what you focus on will increase. Oh, you are not married? Pray for those that don't have a husband. What the enemy is using to attack you, use it as a prayer point for others. Deepening your theology. Some people do not have, maybe they are believing God for to be pregnant. They say, my sister, face your life. All this one you are ministering to people, so. They used to tell my wife those days. Why don't you concentrate on having a child? Do they concentrate? He said, my husband, let's concentrate. people, they sleep with them every day. They don't concentrate. A mad woman is pregnant. Who pregnanted them? No, not dog. Then you say, let me give you advice. And if you are not careful as that, and you are not deepening your theology, it will sway. What did the Bible say? It says every believer was faithfully devoted to the following the teachings of the apostles. What is apostolic? This is what's called the apostolic doctrines. An apostolic doctrine is not a doctrine that when it is delivered to you, you should not read the Bible. In Acts 17, speaking about the Berean Christian, they went to check scriptures. Apostle Yemi Adivarasi came here in October. He said we should stop reading Bible and start studying scriptures. The question I should ask, how many of us took it seriously? He said, I'm not a pastor. Who call you pastor? You know, sometimes people say, hey, I know if you do pastor. I said, I don't need you. We don't need you. Wait. Come on, go. Why? I see pastor is a derogative. I say, he said, hey, we'll not be mad people. Listen. Need you. No. He said, we are suffering. I'm not suffering. It depends on what you call suffering. Apostle Peter said, suffer well. There are some sacrifices I have to make. Should I tell you also? A man that sells ice cream does not go on vacation in the Christmas. Are you see somebody that runs a nightclub that sleep at night? Every career has a sacrifice. What's a career? It's a calling. Has the sacrifice. I told my children, I said, there are some sacrifices you have to pay because of my calling. And there are some benefits that will come to you that I cannot block from you. Doesn't matter whether people say, hey, and I become a pastor. I say, receive it. On Christmas Day, I was here praying. Throughout that week, I was here. It's my calling. I love it. When you finish all night, you left. I got to my house about 3 a.m. I love it. Why? Deepening theology. You need to deepen your theology in this end time. Or else one false doctrine will come and sway you away. Listen, not everybody has their prayers answered. Even the greatest prayer warrior. You need to deepen your theology. The way we pray against devil is as if devil is stronger than God. Is it my brother? You're going to Fame Foundation. I know. You know, they're easy. Until I discovered how to pray, my prayer life was topsy-turvy. Prayer is supposed to be one of the greatest delights in life. How come we now struggle to pray? The man that loves you, don't you like to be with somebody that loves you? When they call about prayer, and I say, hey, now what? Let's fast. They say, can't you fast for me? You need to deepen your theology, study scriptures, comfort services, come to church. Many of us were not around. It's understandable that some of us were not around during the week, but it's not understandable for many of you. It's not understandable. I know. I'm not one that will preach a gospel of shame. If it takes me every time to fly, you may say I'm a pastor. Well, listen to me. I can misbehave. Is the deepening of your theology. I was talking to somebody about us not cheating the government and paying the right thing. He said one time I was angry with my uncle. Because my uncle came and said he wants to build a house. And he came all the way from US. I said, I want to build a house. I said, find me an architect. He bought a house and wanted to resign. I said, let us get the approval. The person that was going to get the approval, I don't want to mention who is it. Which career? He said, you know what, when we want to get the approval, there's a right way, but I know the back door. And we can get it less. As he finished, when he left, he said, get me another person. Because if this one knows the back door, he will never use the front door. He said, I was angry until you made a mention about it. Can't you see that believers, the way we take, they do some corruption, is wrong theology. It's wrong theology. Even if pastor preach the right theology, you will keep malice with the pastor. Say, pastor, no, know the times. If you don't know if you don't deepen your theology, every time you will rewrite the Bible. Say, the Bible says this, but you are writing again. How will you tell me now that when there's a level you get to, fornication is not sin. Adultery is not sin. It's the way of life. You know, there are sometimes you just say, oh, why this Bible day? Does it not happen to you? You say, why Bible? But without Bible, the whole world will malfunction. The next thing we need to do, in Psalm 119, David said, in verse 11, say, how can a young man stay pure? Only by living in the word of God and walking in his truth. I have longed for you with the passion of my heart. Don't let me stray from your directions. I consider your prophecies to be my greatest treasure, and I memorize them and write them on my heart to keep me from committing sins, treason against you. In the Message Bible, it says committing sin to bankrupt me. Sin is not even against God. It's against your destiny. It will make you bankrupt. God knows that. You know, a fish can just jump out of water and say, I will show you. And he'll be jumping and dancing. It's not entertaining you, it's dying. Same thing. The only place you can function is the presence of God. Every other place you will die spiritually. Second, deepen your heart connection with believers. With other believers. Do you know, I have noticed one thing recently. And people and believers even make it say, I don't have friends who are Christians. Say, so I come to church to worship my God. And I go. No time. I don't want anybody to gossip me. Let me tell you. The Bible says, every believer was faithfully devoted. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another and sharing communion. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another and sharing communion. There's a wood called the redwood tree in California. Very big tree. It can grow up to 35-story building. But it has a shallow root system of less than 6 feet. And it does not fall. Why does it not fall? Because they grow together. And when they grow together, their roots go and intertwine with one another. What gives them stability when the wind comes, boah, is that they are together. They will bend, but they will rise again. Why? Because you can break one broomstick, but you cannot break the broom. There is something that happens when I connect with you in a deep way. That's why I looked at somebody one day and said, you broke my heart. The person will not understand. You see, when you break fellowship, it's not by breaking fellowship. There's a part of me you take. And there's a part of me that follows you. You see, I tell people every time, it's big people we are building. It's not about a big church. Why is the church not so formidable? Our network is weak. The people of the other side, they don't have this power. They only have the power of network. Sharing. Listen, one of the most spiritual things you can do is to eat together. To eat together. That's why when we break communion, we break bread. It's spiritual. When the 70 elders came with Moses to the presence of God, they ate on the table in Mount Sinai. Eating together connects you. Listen. Until you get connected with one another. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. When you stay away, it is the banana that leaves the bunch that gets eaten. A pack of goats running together can crush a lion. The lion will run. But the lion is always looking for the weak one who separates. We need to get connected. Believers, as we go in this year of 5779, you know, this year is so instructive. The year of 5779, the year of 2019, Nigeria is 59 years old. The year of grace and blessings will come. There will be a lot of surprises this year. Mark my word. A lot of surprises. We need to get connected. I need to get connected in a deeper way. That's why this week we are doing life group activities. We're not coming to church. Yesterday I told them, gather your family, break bread. Men, do that. Use this week to always do that with your family. One of the things I've instituted in our devotion together at home is that we break bread. And I make sure that they won't eat the one that is good. We use cabin biscuit. And they want to break it into two. I say, no, one full one. So that your stomach will be full. But you see, you eat together. Do break meals together. When you are meeting in life group this week, eat. Don't go and body say when they are coming to my house. Listen, it's not association. It's brothers and sisters meeting together. Break bread together. If it's only crackers, biscuits you can afford, it's okay. We'll be happy. It's not about the food. It's about the heart connection. What's taking place? And if you're not in a life group, please don't go anywhere. Join with people. I've told people sometimes problem will come your way that is bigger than you, but can never be bigger than your spiritual family. Can never. And lastly, deepening your personal and corporate prayer life. This is how you take care of your soul. Prayer is not to kill the devil. Prayer is communion with him, with God that created us. It's one of the things you cannot miss. Your personal devotion life should not be jeopardized. Don't run on empty. There's a book recommended by Bishop Felix Ademio one time in our district. Say running on empty. There are many believers, they are running on empty. The gas in your tank is over. It's a coming together regularly for prayer. Coming together. I know you pray on your own, but there's something that happens when believers gather to pray. There's that iron sharpening iron. And we need to get that clearly. I beg you in this season, as you deepen your theology, deepen it, study scriptures. Don't use only Gideon's Bible. They give you for free. Buy, study Bible. Get a software, buy it. You bought a shoe for 41,000. Don't carry a Bible of 500. You are a spirit man. Invest. Get books. Stop at the step down. Buy it. It will deepen you. As you grow in your soul, your pocket will start growing. But when you are dwarfed in your soul, your pocket will be getting dwarfed. Even those of us in the marketplace, they say when they ask you for a solution, you will bring it part-time because your spirit man is strong. You're not going to take decisions based on people say, run now, run now, run now. They don't know what will happen again. No, no, no. When your soul is built, you will tell them, we are here. We're here. Rise up on your feet. Lift up your voice. I want you to pray this prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. My soul connects with the Father. My soul, listen to the commands of God. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. And just talk to Him. Talk to the Father. Revive my soul again. Revive my soul. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.